baptism of John, which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, this is our key verse, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose up from the dead. Just a little thing, your glorified body, you can eat and drink and walk through walls.
That's right.
Amen. And I said, hallelujah. Don't mean to have the donuts and stuff there, but anyway. 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, and to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. Now go back to verse 38. It says how God anointed Jesus. When it refers to Jesus, it's talking about his humanity, not his deity. You understand? He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, describing which one he's talking about, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now notice that nowhere in the Bible will you read Jesus done not one miracle until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not one. The first one that the Bible describes is where he turned the water into wine. But this is just after he had been baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Remember, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and then he was led out in the wilderness. Let's go look at Luke 4. Luke 4:1, it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Notice that. Now, you got to remember about Jesus. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. I heard a minister say this one time, and I thought it was very good, and I've tried not to forget it, and I'm trying more and more to incorporate it into my life. If I will be more selective about what I say, my words will be more effective. Why? Because Jesus never said anything that he didn't hear the Father say. Me and you need to come to the place to where we don't say anything except what we hear the Father say.
Amen.
That's going to take a lot of discipline. Because I want to say a lot, Johnny. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, skip down just for time's sake. We know that that becomes the temptation. He overcame every one of them. Verse 16 says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Notice that. I think it's real strange, those Christians that say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Jesus had a custom of entering into the synagogue all the time. You know, we would call that our churches today. We don't have synagogues here. We're not Jews. But he goes on and he says, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which we would say Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, notice this, the book didn't just fall open. When he had opened the book, he found. I didn't notice that for a long time, Sandy. He looked for that. He found that certain verse. And he goes on and says, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. How come he didn't read no more than that? It was prophesied of him, and he did exactly what the prophecy, fulfilled the prophecy exactly as it said. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he's saying, I am who this scripture's talking about. I have been anointed to do the very thing these verses are talking about. And it says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Then it goes on, you know. Because they're only connected with his humanity part of him. Let me read this in the Amplified, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the word because, it means for this reason, right? It says, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. Listen, there's poor in money and there's poor in spirit. Everything he reads here, if you got it in the spirit, you got it in the natural. If you got it in the natural, you got it in the spirit. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. You know, the Bible says that the people in this world that's not born again, that the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded their hearts and minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine in. That's what preaching does when you do it. It brings light. You may not even know you're in darkness. But once the true gospel's preached, when it's the word of God, the anointed word of God, it brings life. He goes on and he says here, he has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. It says to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. But notice that. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Go over to John 14. We're going too long with this, shall we say no? I'm happy because I done seen the end of it. Y'all are practicing what the Lord told us a few Wednesday nights ago, right? Remember me telling you one of the reasons why we have praise and worship is not just to praise and worship the Lord, but praise and worship when your heart, when you let everything go out of your mind and your heart, it brings us into oneness, brings us into oneness of fellowship and oneness of fellowship with him. Because sometimes, like when a minister has to get up here, if we've not done that, and I'm not just talking about doing it when you get here, I heard Johnny whooped in up there and back right in, and I could hear his radio. I'm over at the truck. And I guarantee you it wasn't on ZWZZK, was it, Johnny?
No.
Huh? He's not Terry Trout. Y'all remember that message, right? He's more like Vic Victory. Why? Because you don't listen to WZZK. Am I saying it's sin? No, it might lead you to it. But listening to it is not necessarily sin. Why? A lot of that only ministers to your emotions. If you'll notice, a lot of times whenever somebody starts going through a divorce, they don't want to talk to married people that's been married a long time. What they want to do? I need to go find somebody that's going through a divorce. Why? So we can sit around and fellowship about our natural carnal problems. You know what you're going to get with that? No help. Why? Flesh can't minister to spirit. Flesh can only minister to flesh. It's spirit that ministers to spirit, right?
Right.
Whatever that's about, I don't know and I don't care. See, let me do this. There's times, I think every person in a congregation ought to have to at least stand before everybody and give one message. At least. Why? So you can experience what it's like when you're up here. There's sometimes something comes out of my mouth and never even crossed my head. Why? Number one, I'm supposed to be ministering out of my spirit, not out of my head. If I'm coming out of my head, I may be saying eloquent words, but there's nothing spiritually happening. There's no edification as far as your spirit happening. But my words could be like that one that I said a few weeks ago. It just came out of me and I said, and shut up! Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
I know Shannon does. But anyway, he told Cassandra about it. We'll get to him next. But anyway, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I thought, gosh, that was a little hard, wasn't it? You know, and if I think it's hard, it's pretty hard usually, you know. But how many knows it's not supposed to be bypassing my head? Let me, I don't know why we're doing this, but it don't matter to me. Because a lot of times when you're up here, don't tell me nothing about your stuff. Number one, I don't know, and number two, I don't care, and number three, I don't need to know. I don't mean that bad. Why? Because if I know something, my head tries to get involved when I'm up here. Why? I love you. I want to help you. But my head can't help you. I know Scotty said that he's told David before. Y'all know David works with him every day. I don't want to know nothing about nobody. I don't want to know nothing about your problems. I don't want to know nothing about what you know. Why? Because he doesn't want to be affected, try to be affected when he gets up here by that. When you go out on the street, y'all going again?
Yeah, we're
going. Young man, going again? You know, God's going to develop that ministry, I believe. Do not ever try to minister to somebody out of what you think you know.
Right.
Why? Number one, you see fruit, God sees root. Me and Scotty was both lost as you could possibly be into all kinds of different things, you know, and all of that stuff. But we was not looking for the same thing. He was looking for purpose and to have a good life. All I wanted was joy. It seemed like my entire life I had just been so inside sad and felt so bad about me. But you know what? It didn't come out like that. Why? The root of it was fear. But it came out in aggression. Why? I can't show weakness. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. The root was fear. If people find out how you really are, Teresa, nobody's going to like you. If people really find out about, and I was, I don't give a rip. That's what people think. But in here, I really did. Even if my head didn't know it. So my attitude and aggression and fighting and all this other stuff was actually based in fear. But you know what? God knew that. So he has me at a certain time. I don't even know why I'm flipping it. Scotty got saved 2 weeks before I did. He got saved in December. I got saved 2 weeks later in January of, 94? I think it was 94. I got saved January 94. He got saved December 93. You know, and y'all know the story, most of you know. He said, okay, you know, we had been separated. I come back and all that, you know. And he says, well, I'm just telling you, you know, I'm going to go to church, you know. And all that, don't try to stop me from going to church. I said, well, I don't care what you do, but I'm not going to church, and don't talk to me about your blankety-blank God, because I don't want to hear it. That was our little agreement there. So we're back together. He starts going to church and all this stuff. Well, one day God has me, we had moved in with his mama, and then one day I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm just flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden I come across this, they're playing volleyball. They're teenagers. I don't know, early 20s, late teens, something like that. They're on a beach playing volleyball. And they start talking about the Lord, you know, and they're laughing. And it's like I could feel the joy of the Lord coming out of the TV. And it, to me, it was like, there's everything you've been looking for. Scotty, you're not going to reach him with telling him you need joy. Jesus will give you joy. You're not going to reach me with telling me Jesus will give you purpose. Why? All of us that are unsaved, everybody that's unborn again, are looking for something. Whether they even know what it is or not. At the time, I didn't know I was looking for joy. At the time, he didn't know necessarily he was looking for purpose and to have a good life. All he knew is he couldn't figure out why, if there's such a good God, why would he put me on this earth to go through hell, which our marriage was like torment, hell all the time, seemed like. And when it was good, it was really good. That lasted a few hours. When it was really bad. That lasted for years. So, you know, when you're out there on the street or whatever, or you come in contact with people, don't try to minister to them with this up here. Oh, you know, I know they do drugs, or, you know, I know they're going through a divorce, you know, or their occupation is this, and my occupation is this, so we can click. No.
No.
No. I need to be led. Why? Just like the story that I just told you. God had the, if for nobody but me, they was on that channel, playing volleyball. And listen, I've heard a bunch of Christians, after that they had ballet on there, and I've heard Christians, I don't know what they put that ballet on there for. What they put that volleyball on there for. This is supposed to be a Christian channel. Ooh, y'all not saying nothing with your religious heads. It is a Christian channel. But just because I'm a Christian don't mean I don't play volleyball while I'm experiencing and showing forth the joy of the Lord. Right? Be careful about all that. It'll slap mess you up. Anyway, so when you go out there on the street or on your job or whatever, if you're trying to minister to somebody, what, always look in here and endeavor to be led. Because you see what's going on the outside, and you may hear the words coming out of their mouth, but you have no idea what's going on in their heart and in their head. But the Holy Ghost knows. He, there's nothing he don't know everything about. There's not a person he don't know everything about. And there's a good scripture to put everybody on the same field. What is that? Romans 3:23. Anybody quote it? You got it. See, when I'm out there, don't come over telling me Jesus will give you peace. I don't got no problems, dude. What do I need Jesus for? Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Do you realize they don't understand the peace of God because they've never experienced it? But not everybody has hell and chaos going on in their lives. Jesus will meet your needs. Not everybody needs money or friendship, but they need salvation. So in order to level the playing field for everybody, this is where you come to. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus as our Savior, right? I don't go on the street. I have, but I'm not, unless the Lord tells me, because that's usually not my thing. My thing is other things or whatever. But just a little tidbit there. Well, the Holy Ghost wants you to know. He don't want to be left out of one area of our lives or anybody that we come in contact with. Now, where did I tell y'all go? John 14?
Yes.
All right. Now, Jesus is talking to him here. I'm not going to take time to read this whole chapter. When you start this out, he's talking to him about he's leaving. Right? Y'all remember the story. He's going to be crucified, sent to the Father and all that. Well, he's talking to him about he's leaving, but we're going to pick it up here in I guess verse 5, because Jesus told him, where I'm going right now, you can't go. Thomas in verse 5 saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Where are they coming from? Out of his spirit, words that the Father was speaking, right? Well, who translates all that? The Holy Ghost, right? We'll find it over in John 16 later. He goes on and he says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Is he in you?
Yep.
If you've been born again, he is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He doeth what? I thought he was talking about talking. He's talking about all of it. Y'all remember Jesus? He said, of myself, I can do how much?
Nothing.
Why? Because he came and demonstrated the way we're supposed to live and be and do. And if it wasn't that way, we could say, but that was Jesus. And if you're not real careful, your religious mind will say, but that was Jesus. No, he's in you. Y'all remember the scripture says Christ in you? It don't say Jesus in you. Why? Jesus deals with his humanity. Christ deals with his deity. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing in you is the hope of the glory to be revealed in you, through you, and upon you. He goes on and he says, 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake, the miracles and things that he's doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these. Now go back and remember the scripture that we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Why?
He anointed
him. Why? To do what? The first thing was to preach the gospel. And you might say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. I have scripture for it. The Bible says every one of us that's been born again has been given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. That we are ambassadors of Christ to reconcile others to God just as we was reconciled.
Right.
You don't have to be behind a pulpit. Listen, our lives, just like Brother Brad was talking about Wednesday night, is preaching something all the time. Good or bad. Good or bad. All the time. If your neighbors, they see you get up every Sunday morning and go into church, it tells them something. If they know you're a Christian and they see you on Wednesday night and you're still at home, we got a problem. They see something. Gosh, let's don't get over that church stuff. That's Scotty's job. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's not just tacking the name of Jesus on the end of your prayer. You can be born again and not be in his name. Just because I say in Jesus' name, don't mean I'm in his name. That went over real well. Y'all let me say that again. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, we know, what is it? Over there, chapter 16? Let's see here. No, it's 15. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. This ain't just pick out the verse you like the best that fits your situation, you think, and quote it, and I'm going to do it. Y'all didn't say nothing. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You go over there, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You go study that, and it says hearing the Christos word. What's that mean? The anointed word at the time. There's a lot of word in this book. That's how come if y'all have ever been to a service and somebody got up and ministered, I don't care how much they told you their name was Apostle so-and-so, or their name was Preacher so-and-so, or Pastor so-and-so, if they up there to preach and they ain't no anointed, no, you're not. Do you understand? God's not trying to get on us, onto us. I'm telling you, I really truly believe it in my heart. Have y'all not connected the dots on the messages we've been getting here lately? Words, miracles, signs shall follow those who believe. Why are we hearing all this stuff? Faith comes out by hearing and hearing the anointed word. God's ready to do it. Our lives are supposed to be showing it. But you gotta have, Brother Baptist, you said it this way. He said, you gotta have faith of the seed in you. The Bible says each one of us, give my voice, that each one of us that's been born again, he says, we have not been born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, right? The word of God, he says. So you must believe in the seed that is on the inside of you. I remember Scotty a long time ago, he was reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, you know, all that stuff, miraculous working power and deliverances that they got and everything. And he asked God, it's sincerely in his heart, God, where's the power today? You know what God told him? Some of y'all heard the story. It's in you. I mean, y'all truly in your heart believe that power is in you. I didn't say up here. See, if you really believed it in here, there'd be a lot of shouting going on. But do you realize that it is? Absolutely. It says there, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Now look at, let's see. Well, I got that way down there. Let's look at Romans 8, I think. I got it wrote down one way, but I think we're switching it around. Like I say, I just work here. Let me tell you something. You have to guard against when God does start using you. Whether it's to minister to other people, do signs, wonders, miracle, and all that, you better remember who you are. And apart from him, it's not you. Kind of like I heard somebody say, and I've said it before when I got up here. If it was good, it's God. If it wasn't, it's Teresa. Y'all not saying that one. Why? Because the devil would like for you to get caught up into pride and get you off.
That's right.
Now here in Romans chapter 8, I'm not going to take the time to read this whole thing. Trying to figure out which one we'll start with. Let's just start in verse 5 for time's sake. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, you could say that this way, and I believe the Holy Spirit, the Amplified Bible does. They, the carnal, the fleshly, those that are after the flesh, they set their mind on. They think about carnal, natural, fleshly things all the time. And let me tell you one of the reasons why the devil tries to get people to do that. See this light's on right here, but there's a switch in the back. Now, there's power going to it. Anytime you want to flip the switch, right? That light will come on if it's working. Carnality, keeping your mind on just work, kids, football games, what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to go. I didn't say any of that was wrong or bad. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be sin. All this stuff is going to short circuit the power that is in you. And that's exactly what he's saying here. He goes on here, just like if there's a break in one of them wires up there, you can flip the switch all day long. But the power's not getting to it. That's why he wants us to just be, he couldn't stop us from becoming born again. Right? But if he can just keep us so carnal, so busy, so carnal, thinking about all other kinds of stuff and not being spiritually minded, we're going to have a hard time walking in the power that's in us. Number one, you need to get out of the flesh. Right? For an example, say I'm going down the road, somebody flips me off, makes me mad. I get in the flesh. I start thinking certain thoughts. I may even do some fingers of my own, whatever the case may be. And I get to the grocery store. Now, God's done set this up that the power's going to need to be turned on because there's somebody there that needs the power that's on the inside of me. Amen. But what am I going to have? I'm going to have to come out of the flesh, right, out of that anger, out of that carnality. Why? Because it's two different spirits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, the Spirit of God is in me, but which one am I yielding to? Right. That's why he tries to do it all the time. Let's go on here. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind or set their minds on the things that pleases the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me say, I don't care how much you work, what you do, you can keep your mind stayed on the Lord. You may have to talk to people at your job, talk, and the second that you get through talking, put your mind right back on the Lord. It's going to take discipline. Going to have to ask the Holy Spirit, remind me, put my mind back on the Lord when I get through doing whatever I'm doing, talking or whatever. That's why you have to do it. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you've been born again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, not Jesus, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if you've been born again, that same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus himself from the dead, glorified him, seated him at the right hand of the Father, lives inside of you.
Amen.
Lives inside of me.
Thank you.
He goes on and he says, then shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Not out here nowhere, in you. He goes on and he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Or in other words, don't live by what I feel all the time. Y'all ever have these feelings, you just be sitting there all of a sudden, I don't know, maybe your throat felt a little scratchy, or maybe your head's hurt a little, and you have this thought, I just don't feel good. A few minutes later, you catch yourself, I just don't feel good, inside. A few minutes later, you have, I just don't feel good. Why do you keep having that? Can you tell how you felt the first time? You're trying to convince yourself you just don't feel good or what? There's a reason. That's carnality. What's it matter how I feel? When did he tell me to go by how I feel? See, the devil would like for me to feel and say, well, I feel mad. I feel so sorry. There's people all over the world on medication right now just because they feel.
Yeah.
Ain't even that wrong necessarily in their lives, but they feel all the time.
Yeah.
They just feel. Christians are not supposed to feel.
Right.
We're supposed to see, believe, and say, right?
Come on.
I had some of that the other day myself, and I really did feel something. After about three times, I got wise to it, and it took me three times, but I thought, something going on here. Why do I keep having that thought? I don't think that's my thought. I realized the first time I didn't feel all that good. Why do I keep having that thought? Just don't feel good. Y'all ever have that? Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And you look inside, you can't find it. Something's wrong. Bad.
Yep.
Y'all about to say that?
Yep.
I'll just tell y'all how I do. That'll be all right. So you look inside again. You try to think in the natural. What is it? You know, Scotty having an affair? My finances ain't going to come in. This. What in the world? What is it? Why do I keep feeling that? What's it matter? It ain't God, so stop feeling it. And definitely don't think on it and say it. Why? I'm not supposed to go by how I feel, right? I'm supposed to walk by faith, and walking by faith, you cannot walk by how you feel. Whether you're sad, mad, hungry, anything else. Usually if Scotty's going to fast, he wakes up the next morning, 4 or 5 o'clock, starving to death, feels like. Every time, just about. That must be the Lord. I really just don't need to fast today. Well, that ain't what you told him when you was going to bed last night. But I just feel so hungry. I don't think that's the Lord, because I'm telling you now, I just feel so hungry. Ain't we been talking about being led in here and not out here?
Right.
Do you know the Bible talks about how some people, their God is their stomach?
Yeah.
Oh, we ain't saying nothing. I know I'm fat. Don't even start thinking about me. Think about yourself. Why? He's talking to all of us. He's talking to me. He's talking to you. My body is not supposed to tell me when I eat. I'm supposed to tell my body. It's 12 o'clock. How you know? My body. And don't you probably, usually most time when people say that, it's about 12:05. Why? Because they're so used to that. Now listen to me. I'm not saying you can't eat at a certain time. Y'all get the spirit of what I'm saying, right? Don't think about this so fleshly. I don't care if it's 12:01. If I feel on the inside, not talking about how my stomach feels, I stand up here a while ago and I could hear it going, whoa, whoa. And I ate one of Scotty's little biscuits made with water this morning because them kids drunk up all the milk yesterday. So I know something's in there. But somebody hear that, you're just hungry. I'm just so hungry. Are you really? Most of us probably are not hungry. Mm-hmm. Most of us are not hungry. Kind of like Scotty said, you got some, what was it you call it? I say something about being, reserve. He said, you got enough reserve. Y'all know you're running out of gas on your motorcycle. It's got a little thing over here. You turn it, it's called reserve. What's that mean? There's a little left in the tank. Ooh, I don't know what we're on that for. We'll just call it just for me. That'll be fine. I need it. What did we get to? Well, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, to live after what I think, see, feel, hear in the natural. People say to me, I told you before, an open door is not always God. A closed door is not always God. I told y'all the story about my blazer last week, right? When the Lord told Scotty in here to start going to the Blount County Jail, which he did, I think, for about 2 or 3 years, he went down there. You know what they told him? No. He come out, sad little puppy. I know I heard from God, and they told me no. God asked him, he said, how bad do you want it?
Mm.
See, that's like my blazer. God had that set up for me. Why? He told me it's mine. Had me going by there that time, seeing the for sale sign. I'm at home praying. In here, I get it's mine. Scotty goes down there to get it. Y'all remember the story, right? And he tells him, no. We got bad credit, no credit, and everything else you can think of at the time. And they tell him no. He comes home and he tells me, I said, you better get back down there and get my blazer. Now that was something for him to get back down there, but he'd rather mess with them than me. He goes back down there. He got a no. Do you hear me? A no. Well, I must have missed it. He said his sheep hear his voice, and the stranger they will not follow.
That's right.
How much do you know it? Turns around, goes back down there the next day, comes driving my blazer home. Had I not known, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I heard him say, that particular blazer is mine. I didn't pick a verse out of the Bible. He told me that. That was anointed word. So therefore, door looked closed. It was open, Johnny, but they said closed. He says he opens doors, can't no man shut. He shuts doors, can't no man open. When he goes down into jail, they tell him no. God says, how bad do you want it? Sometimes the devil's not just going to roll over and play dead because God told you something.
That's right.
But now listen to this. If God didn't really tell you, and you want some of that fake stuff, you try to kick the door down all day long, and it's just not going to open. And then they'll come up in here telling us how God missed it. There's a saying I heard in the world. I'm not going to say that. Yes, I'm not going to say that. It has to do with raining. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, where can we get to? Where if you live after the flesh, if you live by what you see with your natural eye, hear with your little ear, feel this carnally thing, you're going to die spiritually. And you will not have everything that God has provided for you. See, that does away with all of that. God's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to. God's bound by his word. He says, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that tells me sons of God are supposed to be led by his Spirit. People getting up all over the world this morning trying to be led. Do I go to church today? Do I not go to church today? Let me just tell you, go to church today. If you can't hear him yet, hear me what I'm telling you. Go to church today. Why? Number one, that tells me you really need to be at church somewhere where you can be taught because you're not led and you don't know how. Right? Woo. Okay. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, what? Again, to fear. This is a big one. The Bible says over, what is it, 1st, 2nd Timothy? I think about what, 1 verse 7? Chapter 1 verse 7, somewhere around in there. He says, for God has not given us a spirit to fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fear is not your leader. You better hear me. Got car payments due. Rent due, car payments due, baby needs some diapers, blah, 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 whatever it is. And it just, I mean, we're down to the wire now. I don't know what's happening. It looks like God's not coming through. Oh, you better get that out of there. Why? Faith puts a demand on the power. The provision's already there. The power's already there. But it's going to take your faith turning the light switch on. That puts a demand. I'm not putting a demand on God. God don't need a demand. He's already done it all, right? If I need something, he's already provided it. There was a lady on the internet yesterday. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just got on Facebook. Seen the lady there. She's looking. She's a Christian. I don't know her, but she's on my friends list. And said, anybody know where I can get some smallmouth cannon jars? Well, guess who's got smallmouth cannon jars I don't use? I like the wide mouth. See, I like to put my whole hand in there and just pack it down. I hate soup that whenever you cook it, it's only about that deep in the jar. So I like the wide mouth better. I quit using the small mouth a long time ago. So out of my little thing there on my carport building there, I have got boxed up already, hadn't used in years. I've even got a thing of lids, the flaps and lids of rings that goes along with that. Whole box, never even been opened. So I type it on there, you know. I said, where you live? She says, I live at Cleveland. I said, well, I have some you can have if you want to come to Blountsville and get them. She says, yes, I do. And then started private messaging me, got my address. Anyway, she came and got them and all of that. I let her have, oh, I felt so good, Johnny. I have felt that good. Scotty, give me $100, don't make me feel that good. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, when Scotty gives me some money, I don't feel that on the inside. Why do I feel that on the inside?
Holy good.
See, she had a need. She's a Christian. I don't know if she prayed to ask God or not. Told me she had some order from Amazon. Supposed to be here the 3rd. This is what, the 15th? They're still not here. She said, Cannon season's going to be over with before I didn't get my tours. God knows. God know the need. God know who could supply the need. And just so happened, I don't know how many he may have spoke to before he got to me. Or maybe I was the first one. I don't know. But the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive, right? We usually just equate that to money. Listen to me. If you're having a problem, you just don't, y'all ever just get up and you just don't feel good?
Yes.
Back to that feeling thing again. Go find you somebody to minister to. It's the last thing your flesh will want to do. But it's the very thing that you need. Why, I have a scripture for it. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that waters shall be what? Watered again. Listen, honey, you can't be the hose pipe without getting wet. Why? If it's going to come from God through you, it's going to wet you too.
Amen.
So therefore, if you're having a bad day, you're going through all... See, our flesh says, I'm going through too much. Lord help us. I got to get under the bed. I'm just going through too much. I can't talk to nobody. I can't minister to nobody. The devil is a liar. That's the very thing you need to do. You ain't got no money. Go find you a dime on the street or something and give it to somebody or to God. Gosh, y'all are so quiet. I just get happy all by myself. That'll be all right. Monty's always said, we try to listen to your tapes at bedtime, you know, like y'all say, listen to the word when you go to, but we can't listen to you. Why? I get high and I get low. Knowing gets real strong, I start screaming. Knowing ain't real strong, I don't usually talk that loud. Y'all can tell, can't you? So if you want to be watered, honey, go water somebody. Endeavor to be led. See somebody at the grocery store. Usually you can tell or you can hear. Kids are squat down in the floor. The lady, she's over there crying. She needs help. Hello, let your elevator go to the top. She needs some help. Endeavor to be led. I don't know what you might start out saying. There's no telling what he might tell you to say. I was reminded this morning. Oh, gosh, I got to tell this story. We got to quit because time is up. And I was on Scotty about extra time this morning. I told him I just had to baptize him with a lower. But anyway... I was reminded this morning about, does anybody in here, I know Sandy, well, Kent Maddox, anybody in here know him? No? Sandy, you remember him? Yeah, he came to Faith Restoration. He was one, he worked for, y'all know Benny Hinn? Well, y'all listen to him real clear. Three hands nodding. I'm going to have to hit y'all, hook y'all up. I don't know what y'all listening to, but that's the problem. Anyway, back to my story. Kent Maddox, he worked in Benny Hinn's ministry under him for a long time. You know, y'all would see him on TV if he was watching, catching people and all this other stuff. Anyway, he worked in Benny Hinn's ministry, and then the Lord told him to go out on his own. And he would come to our church when we was at Faith Restoration one time, and he started telling this story about this preacher friend of his that was going somewhere to do a meeting or whatever. And they stopped in a restaurant to eat. Well, while he's in the restaurant, sitting there, you know, the waitress comes over there, gets their drinks. Usually they'll get you drinks, and then they'll come back and get you food order, you know, and I guess that's some of what had happened. Well, while she's going off getting their drinks, the Lord tells the minister, tell her I like her spider tattoo. Don't say something I didn't say that God wants you to go get tatted. I did not say that, did I? I didn't say he does, and I didn't say he didn't. Because when I heard that, my religious mind at the time was like, there's no way God said. No way! No! Oh! Blasphemy! Yeah, some of y'all just thought what you said. That's some Facebook thing waiting. Anyway, I got to hurry with my story here. I got to quit. He said, the Lord told him, spoke to him, said, tell her, the little waitress girl, that I like her spider tattoo. And he thought, well, I don't know her. And there's no way he could know this. Little girl comes back, or the lady comes back, you know, and she brings her drinks, going to take their order. And he said, ma'am, he said, the Lord told me to tell you he likes your spider tattoo. When he told her that, the young girl, she just started boo-hooing. Why? She knows he don't know. He don't know. Only God can know. I mean, who would think to start a conversation with, God likes your spider tattoo? I would have never thought of that, Johnny. It might have been, God likes your hair. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, that's all I remember about the story, and it opened the door for him to start ministering to her. She was having a hard time, whatever it was that she was going through. So whenever you're trying to minister to somebody, don't go by what's up here. Look on the inside here. You'll be amazed at some of the things that God will tell you. And it can be quite an adventure. I've got to stop because time is up. Does anybody quickly want to have